Next, we're going to talk about just one of the millions of losses of the Holocaust. When composer Marcel Teeburg died at Auschwitz, his music was lost with him until now. Brian Schmidt is the artistic director and conductor of the South Dakota Chorale. He joins us today to talk about the Teeburg Project. Brian Schmidt, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be able to talk about this music.
Before we talk about the music, I'm wondering if we can start with the composer himself, Marcel Teeburg. What do we know about his life before his death?
Sure. He was born in Vienna and grew up in a fairly musical family. His father was a violinist with many of the prominent, more regional orchestras in Europe. And his mother was a pianist and a church musician. And so he grew up in a musical family and received really proper training, and himself became a violinist and a keyboardist. And so he lived most of his life kind of in the Southern Europe region, and eventually kind of settled on the coast of what was at that time part of Italy and now a little bit more part of Croatia. Mm. So yeah, he was a versatile musician. He composed classical music. He worked in many different ways. He taught lessons, composition lessons, and keyboard lessons.
Was he fairly well known for his as a composer at the time?
I think he was. I think he was well known in circles. You know, never achieved the fame and the status of somebody like Gustav Mahler or Richard Wagner, but you know, very well known with the musical elite that he was connected to, and thus received invitations to play as a soloist, whether with his own works or some other works, and some of the prominent symphonies during the beginning to the middle of the 20th century.
Tell me a little bit about his style, his compositional style.
It's very, I call it, it's very familiar. Mm-hmm. And so even though his music is quite new to our ears today, and the symphonies only received their premieres in the last 10 years, his musical style is very reminiscent of composers we hear quite frequently, especially in South Dakota. Gustav Mahler is one of those. He has these moments of influence from Mahler, definitely some influence from Bruckner. In his masses, I hear a lot of Franz Schubert and Mendelssohn and Brahms in some of the lines. And so it's quite familiar, but he really uses his own style. He's very expressive with the text, as these sacred texts change from the glory of God to the crucifixion of Christ. He's very dramatic in evoking our emotions with these very familiar Christian texts.
What details do we have today about how Marcel Teeburg ended up at Auschwitz in the time right before he left?
Sure, it's a very tragic and unfortunately, I think, common story for so many of the people that were murdered during this tragic historical time period. He was living in Abbazia, Italy, at that time, and really there was no Nazi occupation of the region, but their troops started moving down into that region, and I think there was this fear growing among people there. And Marcel was aware that his mother had registered their family, not shying away from what would be his great-great-grandfather, who was Jewish heritage. And this I think, grew heavy on his mind. And so as people heard about the troops moving toward the region, he gathered his friends, and we know this story through some of his friends that tell it. He gathered some of his friends at a local church in the evening by candlelight, and he played through his compositions, some of his solo songs I imagine some of his symphonies at an organ bench, and I imagine also the two masses he wrote. He gave all of his music away at that time, possibly anticipating he might not be able to protect it himself. And he hugged his friends and he went home, and it wasn't more than 2 days, and his family and friends kind of noticed he had disappeared, and the Gestapo had come through the region. he was quite depressed at that time, having lost his mother not too far before, and it was really assumed that he might have committed suicide, but it was several years later that people discovered his name was indeed registered at Auschwitz. And so that's what we know about the end of his life.
Tell me then about the music in those suitcases. How does it come to us?
Sure. So one of his friends at that time was a doctor, and Dr. Milan Mihic had a son, Enrico, and Enrico studied piano lessons and with Marcel. And so the music was in Dr. Milan's keeping, and he passed it to his son, and his son moved to the United States to begin work as a cancer researcher at the University of Buffalo in western New York. And so the music came with Dr. Enrico Mihic, and it had been in his basement. And he was busy through 70s, 80s, and I think in the 80s, he's 80s or early 90s, started trying to kind of revive conversations with some European conductors that he had had connections with, and then some of those people passed away. And some more time passed, and he had approached conductors of the Buffalo Philharmonic. And finally, in the 2004-2005 region, there was a conductor, a marvelous conductor, who still is now the conductor of Buffalo Philharmonic, Joanne Falata, who took an interest in this music, and really also herself said, there's absolutely something here that the world needs to hear. So,
but not all of it has been heard. I understand that the South Dakota Chorale is premiering pieces of T-Berg's. Do I have that
That's
correct?
That's right. Yes, we'll be giving the modern premieres. We have documentation in some newspaper articles that during Marcel's life, at least one of the masses was performed at a church. There are also some stories. He wrote a Te Deum, a very famous sacred text, very familiar sacred text. That score, however, has been lost. And so for the first time since we suspect he played these for his friends before his departing, we will be singing them and giving them live for the first time.
So give me a few details of where I can hear this and what I can expect if I go.
Well, I think you can expect both a musically fulfilling and an emotional evening. I think the spirit of this performance is unlike anything we've certainly done, and myself, even as a music appreciator and a concert attender, this is one of the most special and unique projects that I've been involved with, just to kind of give life to music that had been silenced. So the music is the highest of highs, and very, very rich, and also very subtle and intimate. And one can hear this in many places, but especially in Sioux Falls on Saturday, January 23rd at 7:30 p.m. Right downtown at First Congregational Church. And we'll also be giving performances Friday the 22nd in Minneapolis at St. Mark's Episcopal Cathedral, and Saturday, January 24th, in Lincoln, Nebraska at First Plymouth Church.
And we'll put all that information up on our website after the show at sdpb.org. What has it taken, Brian, for you to bring this music to the Midwest? What kind of process did you have to go through to raise the money to kind of get buy-in on it?
Well, it's been quite a long process for me. I became connected with the scores through our recording producer, who was recording some of the symphonies with Buffalo Philharmonic, and he heard up there that there were some sacred works, and they were frustrated. They said, "Well, we just don't think anybody would be interested." And he said, "Well, wait a second. I know a conductor. He may be cut from a different cloth. Let me take a look." And when I received the scores, and I still have the handwritten manuscripts, one of which, or scans of them, one of which is quite messy and very draft-looking, with things crossed out and arrows here and there, and one which is really quite beautifully engraved. So there's been a whole transcription process, which has been a labor of love, and beyond that, just really, I think it hasn't taken too much convincing. We still have some fundraising to do, and the more we tell the story, the more people connect with bringing this back to life and helping support it financially. And honestly, I think this is one of the most important projects the South Dakota Chorale has ever done. And
it must mean a lot
it.
To those musicians. To
yeah,
it has some significance for them. Yeah,
this will be in some senses a once in a lifetime type of opportunity for our musicians as well. And I love that we're doing it right in South Dakota, and we'll be broadcasting this around the world eventually as we produce a recording.
Thank you so much, Brian Schmidt, for being here with us today and for this project. We'll, again, put that information up on our website to link to it for our listeners.
Thank you.
After the break, T. Wilson King joins us in the studio. We'll talk music and vintage guitars right around the corner. You're listening to South Dakota Public Broadcasting.